Good evening and happy Monday. That time of the week already. Jordan Norris here with The Last Leg, your weekly sports roundup on WLR, Ireland's IMRO local station of the year. So much to touch on. We'll be hearing from the Rathgormack and Ballinacorty camps ahead of this weekend's county football final. John Fallon joins us from Greece to discuss another disappointing night for Irish soccer. We'll be hearing about mental health initiatives being rolled out at clubs here in Waterford. But first, where else to begin but a famous night in GAA history at Dungarvan's Fraher Field.
New Ross Ballymacarby of Waterford captured the All-Ireland Women's Club title in impressive style. Well clear at half-time, the Waterford girls increased the advantage with two further goals just after the restart. The first from Anya Wall, and the second coming up here, an individual effort from Rebecca Hallahan, and didn't she finish it superbly? And there's Ballymacarby's Fiona Crotty accepting the winner's trophy.
Outside Mellow, in a farmer's field, with a broken goalpost and cow shite on the pitch and I remember what the corner flag was hanging up, was sitting on a bucolon. You have to be half crazy to do it, but I was happy to be half crazy.
Chance of a goal here for Ballymac, and it's buried in the bottom corner net by Sive Hanlon. The green flag goes up, defence splitting run from Aileen Wall into the full forward, Sive Hanlon, and she made no mistake from close range. Ballymacarbery are Munster ladies football champions.
Not taking things for granted and coming back every year and not having to rely on the past and, you know, wanting to create more, even more of a future for both the current players and the players coming after us is probably what drives us the most. On a county sense, we'd be happy with ourselves, but, you know, there's still definitely more there to be won.
You have to be half crazy to do it, but I was happy to be half crazy.
Ballymacarbery's 42-year reign as county champions is over. Cumra Rangers are Daisha ladies football champions for the very first time in their history. The full-time score at a bitterly cold Fraher Field. Cumra Rangers 5-3, Ballymacarbery 1-6.
It's just unbelievable. I just can't describe it.
Everyone contributes to make these people what they are, and they're just a fantastic, resilient bunch, and I'm so honoured to have had the opportunity to work with them now, to be quite honest.
It wasn't just the panel who was brought to tears of joy, it was all our family and all of our friends and past players as well. Like, you know, it was great for everyone.
For the first time since 1982, Ballymacarbery have been knocked from their perch here in Waterford. Unless you're living under a rock, you've heard of how the Cumra Rangers overcame the David and Goliath challenge to become the county champions. Tomás McCarthy reports from an emotional and a historic night at Fraher Field.
I'm here with Cumra Rangers defender Nora Dunphy. Nora, can you sum up how much this means to you?
Oh my God, like, I've been... I just can't put it into words. Like, we've been losing county finals for the last number of years, and it's just come back year after year, and we've worked really, really hard. This past year, we put in so much effort. it's just unbelievable. I just can't describe it.
You have a couple of small ones here. Nora, can you just tell us about them?
I have. Maeve, Anya and Dara with me, support me tonight. It's just unbelievable to have my three children here supporting me. It's just amazing. Even just to get back playing after having each of them was huge for me. And like, I love the game, and I'm just speechless.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
Yeah. Can you tell us, Nora, how many county finals have you lost as a player to Ballymac?
Is it 12, I think? I know I was out was for one or two of them due to being pregnant with the lads, but I would have started the year, I would have trained at the start of the year and maybe missed out on maybe a couple of championship matches, but I've been involved in all of them and it's just bittersweet to win. Eventually that winning feeling, like I've won a junior medal back in 2005, an intermediate medal back in 2006, and to eventually get the senior medal today was just, it's just unreal.
Yeah, how many years have you played with Cumbria Adult Team?
I think Shawnee Power back in, oh god, I don't know, I think we were in Porkycueve. I think I was playing a primary game there, and we met Shawnee and he invited me up to play with Cumbria Rangers. Time, I think it was back in 2000 2001, and I've been playing ever since.
What age were you back then?
Oh god, what was it, six class? I don't know, 12 13. So yeah, I've been involved with the club ever since, and it's just great, it's just unreal, like yeah.
Cumbria Rangers manager Ger Power, sure, you've won a men's title with Rathcormac, now you've guided the ladies to county final glory. What does it mean to you?
Look, sure, I'm absolutely delighted, just for the bunch that's there. You know, they're such a fantastic, resilient bunch of girls. Like, they've been knocking on the door for 10 years or whatever. I suppose you have to acknowledge the work that Joe Murray has done with these girls for many years before. We were only there 2 years with the lads, but I have to say we've really enjoyed every minute of it. But you know, Joe Murray is the man, has done so much work with these girls over the years. You know, and he's really brought them to a massive high standard. And I suppose we came in then with some fresh, different things, different ideas, you know, and opened up their minds to some different things, you know. So it's all part of the development. Like, we have a fantastic community. Everyone contributes to the development of these players, within the schools, you know, the whole families, relations and all that. Everyone contributes to make these people what they are, and they're just a fantastic, resilient bunch. And we're so honoured to have had the opportunity to work with them now, to be quite honest.
Michael Ryan, the class act that he is, former Ballymacarby manager, former Waterford manager, came over to congratulate you. Ger, what did he have to say to you?
Yeah, he just said go enjoy it, you know, he said, and push on, he said, because, you know, there's an opportunity there for us to go further, you know. But I suppose, again, that's the other thing we have to acknowledge, is the standard that Ballymacarby have set. If they hadn't set such a high standard, like, you know, we had to try and rise and meet that level, and that's what helped these girls become the best they're capable of being, like, you know. So a lot of credit and a lot of acknowledgement of the standard and the people. Like, you don't have that success, 43 county title or 42 county titles in a row, without having a fantastic bunch of people, like, and fantastic bunch of people working with these, you know. So we have to acknowledge that the great work that they've done, you know.
Was the message to go for goals tonight?
No, it wasn't any real message to go for goals as such. You know, we got the opportunities there. Katie Murray, she didn't score anything in the semi. I think she only scored 2 points in the semi-final. Katie's been getting a good few scores for us, and we had her in the corner. We decided to bring her out centre-forward tonight, but then we put her back into the corner again, like, and it seemed to work, you know. So, Katie's just a fantastic player, you know, along with all her sisters there. But, they work so hard, and it's their life, you know. It means so much to them. Like, they just eat, sleep and drink football. They just love it so much, and that's because of the environment they were brought up in, I suppose, too, you know. So they didn't lick it off the stones, as the fella said.
A night that will live long in the memory for so, so many people here in Waterford. Stay with us after the break. We'll be keeping it all things football. You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris here on WLR. Now let's turn our attentions to the weekend's county football final. Rathcormac will take on Abbeyside Ballinacorty for the Conway Cup following their respective semi-final wins. Rathcormac booked their place in the decider for the sixth year in a row thanks to a 119-25 win against their Cumbria rivals, the Nair, while Ballinacorty are back in the final for the first time since 2020 after their 109-11 win against Galtier. Tomás McCarthy has been speaking to Rathcormac manager Kenny Hassett and Ballinacorty selector Mark Ferncombe.
Here is Rathcormac manager Kenny Hassett. Kenny, comprehensive win today. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. Why did it all fall into place for you?
I wish I knew, Tomás. Look, every team goes out to, you know, they have a set way of playing that we want to produce and play well. It just seemed to click for us today. You know, shots that we took went over. Now, looking at where we shot from good positions as well, which helps. But look, I suppose you get days like that. But the trick is now we have to reproduce a performance like that next week, because whoever we play, be it Ballinacourt or Galtier, we know we're going to be up against it. Like I said, it's great to be in the final. That's your aim of a semi-final, is to be in it. But now, once we're in it, we have to reproduce a performance like that again.
Did you see a performance like that coming from what you saw on the training field over the past 3 weeks?
Well, I suppose the 3 weeks did help. You know, it gives us a chance to a few knocks, niggles, you know, that they can get right and get lads ready. And we gave them a small break as well, which was needed. Yeah, you see bits and pieces come, but you don't always see a performance that good. But like I say, we have to repeat it again next week. You know, doing it once is no good.
Peter Welch caught an amount of ball for you around the middle of the field today. Kenny, can you just tell us a little bit about him, because maybe people wouldn't know too much about him?
Hopefully they don't know much about him. Look, Peter's been great. He's been in and around the panel the last number of years, and he's a huge addition. He's a big frame. You know, he's good judgment as well, and but his football is quite leaps and bounds, and like everyone else, he puts his head down, he works hard, and he's reaping the benefits of it.
When did Billy Power arrive back from Dubai?
Friday, I think. Friday night. Right. Friday night, yeah. Look, it's great to have him. He's a boost to have him. He's a super player. I mean, everybody knows about Billy, be it hurling or football. Hopefully now, with the final being on next Sunday, I think whether we'll have him next week or not, I don't know. Sundays don't tend to suit. We're lucky to get him for this one. Hopefully we'll have him for next week.
Did it take much persuasion to get him to come back?
No, Billy loves it. Billy loves it. He just loves being involved, and when I speak to him on the phone, he knows more about the championship than I do. You know, he's involved, he's talking to lads, he's in the WhatsApp group the whole time. So no, didn't take any persuasion.
Anything to work on now ahead of next weekend?
Always something to work on. Always. You know, wouldn't be happy with the too late concession of goals. Our game management at the end wasn't great either. I know we were a good bit ahead, but still I'd rather that we managed the game better than what we did. I thought if we were a little bit more slicker up front, we could have got a few more scores and even goals. But look, that's good too. There's always something to work on, like I say, and we'll put our head down and work during the week.
How confident are you that you can reproduce that type of display next time out?
Look, with these lads, anything is possible. They're a super bunch. We'd be hoping to. We may not, but we probably have to be victorious. You know, you see as much of it as I do, if not more. And, you know, there's two great sides out ready to play now in Ballinacourt and Galtier, and either one of them, it's going to be a stiff test.
Any knocks coming out of today?
Tons of them.
Okay.
You know, but I don't think any team is different. You know, we're after a full championship of hurling. Now we're at the latter stage of the football. Lads are going to be, you know, dead legs, tight hamstrings, bad calves, bad shoulders, whatever. You know, you're going to get that, and that's part of it. It's just trying to manage these lads now as best we can for the week and get them ready for next Sunday.
Here with Abbeyside Ballinacourt selector Mark Ferncombe. Mark, you were 4 points down there, I think, on two occasions there in the first half. How did you turn it around?
We just dug in, Tomás. It was going to be no other way. You know, there's a lot at stake out here. County semi-final, you know, both sides want to get into a county final. We haven't been in one in since 2021, and I think that was the COVID final, and Galtier, I think, 96. And that's probably the way the game played. There was a lot at stake, a lot of mistakes, but we just dug in, and, you know, lads, really, we turned over a lot of ball there in the last 10-15 minutes, and we put it on the scoreboard, push-kicked some great scores again.
You went in 3 down at the break. What was the message in the dressing room at half time?
To tidy things up and understand what's at stake. Like, it's a county semi-final. There's another game next week if we wanted it bad enough to kind of dig in and you know, be in a position to compete in a final. And, you know, I think the lads knew at times it was a bit messy and we gave away a few scores off turnovers. But, you know, like, the players really pushed it there for the 35 minutes of the second half. Everyone, the bench included, you know, we got good contributions and we got the goal. We didn't kick on after the goal. It was kind of tit for tat and they went ahead again, but just dug in.
What did you make of Patrick Corney's contribution yet again today, Mark, especially after missing a couple of frees earlier in the game?
Yeah, look, that doesn't bother him. He'll still stand up. He won't shy away from if the opportunity comes, he'll go for it. Yeah, really big freeze. He missed a handy free at 6-3 to start the second half, and then he kicked one just inside the 45 out of the hands, and like everyone was looking down to Aaron to come up and kick, and kind of just to Benji, he's going for that. He'll back himself all day. And look, it's refreshing. Look, I said it last week again. It's going forwards. You're looking at JJ there on the other end coming out on the loop, and I'm looking at him saying, how's that happening? But they know how, these good footballers know how to find space and know where the posts are, and they never moved, and they definitely know where they are.
What are your thoughts on facing Rec Gormley, Mark? Like, they ran out 11 point winners today over the Nairn, and it could have been a lot more.
Yeah, no, it's daunting enough now, and I'm not just saying that. I don't even know what they put in the score, but I think I saw 115 at one stage, you know. Really good team, building year on year, and you know, I think this is their sixth consecutive final, so it shows a level of consistency and a level of hunger that they want more. You know, they're in county champions. Look, we're there, we're going to come along now and prepare accordingly as the week, you know, comes, and see what challenge we can put up to them. They bet us there a few weeks ago here, and with a bit to spare really, and we just need to see, can we close the gap? But it looks like a big gap from the first game there today.
How much do you miss being out in the field yourself?
I don't know. I'd miss it, all right. You know, you'd love to be playing in these occasions. But I'm in a different role now, and I kind of fully focused on that. Look, it's always great to represent your club in a county semi-final, and you know, especially when you're winning. So you'd miss days like this, but I'm still a part of it, so that'll have to do.
What do you make of what Benji Whelan has brought to the table this year, Mark, because you've qualified for a football final and also a hurling final this year?
Yeah, he's brought a lot, obviously. You know, the results are showing that. I think we've just lost two games in like one hurling, the county senior hurling final, and a group game against Rec Ormoc. A bit of steel, a bit of belief, a bit of wanting to play for a club. You know, it's kind of one thing we did want to see is a Ballinacorty or Abbey side team, you know, loads of energy, wanting to go to the depths of the game to win them. And Benji's just been, as I said last week, he's refreshing in terms of his football. He come up with new ideas every week, and he loves it, and the boys are really buying into what he's asked.
WLR will bring you the County Senior Football Final live this Sunday. You can join Tomás McCarthy and Gary Herney for live commentary from 2:45 p.m. The promotion relegation match between Stradbally and Roanmore throws in at 6:15 on Saturday. And on the senior camogie front, two semi-finals stand for decision on Sunday at the SETU Arena. Reigning champions De La Salle versus St Anne's at 1 o'clock, followed by the Brickies and Galtier from 3. Don't go anywhere, because after the break, we'll be back to talk all things soccer.
Oh, Kelleher is in trouble here. Is this the second and the clinching goal? It is.
Now, the Republic of Ireland lost 2-0 to Greece in their UEFA Nations League game last night. Tassos Bakasetas opened the scoring for the home side with a deflected shot early in the second half, and a mistake by goalkeeper Cuiving Kelleher allowed Petros Mantelos to score the second goal in stoppage time. It's the second time that Ireland have been beaten 2-0 by Greece in this campaign. Joining me now on the line is Irish Examiner soccer correspondent John Fallon. John is still in Greece. John, what's the mood like in Athens today after that performance from Ireland last night?
Good afternoon, Jordan. I suppose the immediate feeling is one of disappointment, really, because there would have been a sense after Thursday night's game where we came behind to beat Finland that we were finally getting out of this rut. And then you're sort of back to familiar failings last night, losing 2-0 to Greece. As you say, second time in the campaign, but it's actually your fourth defeat to them in a row in over 16 months. So if you're looking for that as a yardstick in terms of whether we are improving even from the last regime under Stephen Kenny to here, you would think that it's probably static. But if you look at it in the overall context from the two games within the window, we've had back-to-back games away from home, Helsinki against Finland, Greece and Athens, and we've taken 3 points. So I think if you'd asked any Irish fan before these two games, would they have taken even 2 points, two draws, that would have been acceptable. So I suppose overall, in terms of the output, 3 points is a good return.
Yeah,
the fear is that we're back in that losing mode, which we really struggled to get out over the last couple of years. So you just hope that they can take something good out of last night, because there were spells where we did okay against a very good Greece team on their home patch. Team is changing a bit, different personnel are around this camp, but he did only actually make one change last night. So this settled team that he's been looking for, you may see that manifest next month when we play Finland at home.
There are definitely positives to take, I suppose, from some aspects of the second half. half performance last night, John. But again, I think it's kind of an age-old problem for Ireland. It seems as if, you know, defensive structure is probably not as much of a problem as is actually having somebody prolific enough to find a net.
You can only go so far on a strong defensive structure, particularly when you give away two griff-wrap goals, as we did in both games. Nathan Collins guilty last Thursday, and then Cuevan Kelleher last night. I know it was right at the death, but it leaves the final score 2-0 rather than 1-0, which was probably more accurate. I know some of the Ireland players we spoke to afterwards felt they deserved a draw, but I think that was probably a bit biased. You'd have to say, Greece were the better team. They've a settled team. They did really well as a fourth seed in their group with them last time, and they got to the playoff where very disappointingly they lost to Georgia on penalties. So apart from that blemish, they're a really good team, not necessarily star players. Even Kostas Tsimikas, Liverpool defender, he was only on the bench last night due to illness, so they only brought him on. For us, it's the areas other than probably defence that were a bit under par. Midfield, as well as Josh Cullen and Jason Knight did, they never really got a foothold in midfield.
Yeah.
And then further up, Chidozie Ogbeni didn't have one of his better games for us. Sammy Smolak's on the other side, on the left, did okay, but Evan Ferguson, probably due to the fact that he's still only really trying to get his match sharpness back, he got taken off about 20 minutes to go and still doesn't look like the player that he was. So all round, there's certainly improvement in record in those areas. I suppose the one bright spot, Troy Parrott, he got a start last night that he
certainly
deserved, and he had moments. So, you know, if you look at it again, you know, from start to finish, we had that really early chance with Evan Ferguson, and had it gone in, maybe the game would have been different. You probably would have seen more of the replays back home than we did. It certainly looked like Evan was shoved, or he got a kick on the leg when he was about to take the
quite unlucky
shot, and it went off. So I don't know. I don't think that he even did a VAR check on it. So I'm not saying that Ireland would have won the game, but you've got to take these chances, however rare they are, you know, at this level, to be clinical.
Yeah.
To have a chance in international football.
Luck is definitely a lot of it, John. It doesn't seem to be breaking in that sense. I'm going to particularly localise this next point, but I was quite impressed with the performance of Jack Taylor when he came off the bench last night. I know, obviously it was a competitive debut for him, and I thought he had a bright cameo, but that's probably bad news in a way for Jason Malumbi.
Yeah, Jason started both games in the last window and went for Jason Knight this time. And if you were to look at the areas where he's going to mix it up, you probably see Jason Malumbi sort of falling behind Jack Taylor, because Taylor's sort of filling that position between midfield and attack. That we sort of get swamped in terms of when we play against the better teams. I think we looked sturdier when he came on. Sort of we'd started with like a 4-4-2. There was talk that Parrott might drop into midfield, but he didn't. He was fairly much level with Evan Ferguson. Whereas when Taylor came on, he shored up that area that we were getting sort of dominated in. And he had two great chances, probably our only two chances in the second half. Certainly from speaking to him afterwards and even with the manager's comments, he's someone who's likely going to figure, I think, against Finland on November 14th.
Just in general, John, I just want to draw you on Heimir Hallgrímsson's comments, because it's happened, I suppose, after both of the recent camps, where he says, you know, he believes in the ability of the squad, but he feels that the main issue is confidence and being able to make those decisions that are quite risky in a way in a game, and they can be quite conservative. But, I mean, that all comes back to, you have to have results to build confidence, and that simply hasn't happened in recent times for Ireland. There's no results of which you can build confidence from.
Yeah, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation. Talking more like a psychologist the last few weeks, you know, that it's all in the head. And that was the point, you know, I started with the fact that monkey was taken off our back on Thursday. You know, had we even gone and drawn that game in Helsinki, it would have been seen as progress, because it would have, to use his phrase, stopped the bleeding. We go and win, and then, you know, within 15, 20 minutes last night, we're pinned back in our own box virtually. So listen, I still think football generally comes down to the quality of players. The manager's job is to structure them and, you know, line them up and get the tactics right. So we, in that respect, don't have a generation of players that we would have had in the previous eras. That just has to be acknowledged.
Of course.
We just don't. So a manager's job is to get the best of the players that he has, and that certainly didn't happen under the last manager. We're only four matches into this reign, so we don't know exactly, you know, what way this is going to unfold. But he seems to have a very calm grasp of where Ireland are at and what they need to do to be competitive again, because that's really what we're looking at. That's where we have to get back to being after finishing fourth in the last campaign. So, yeah, there seems to be a lot of sort of therapeutic sessions in the last, certainly in this camp in these 10 days, in terms of getting into the players' minds and making them believe in themselves a bit more.
Absolutely. I think that's the bottom line, John. We can hopefully get 3 points at home to Finland, probably realistically right off the England fixture, and kind of reassess from there. John, really, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks a million, and safe flight home.
No problem. Thanks, Jordan.
Welcome back to the last leg here on WLR. Jordan Norris here until 7 o'clock, and you're listening to the final part of this week's programme. On World Mental Health Day on Thursday last, Waterford FC teamed up with Pieta House, Waterford and District Junior League and St Dominic's Credit Union to launch a mental health awareness programme, which will see a Pieta House pitchside hoarding put in place at the RSC, along with 19 other club grounds across the city and county. Damien Tiernan was among those there.
It's a dry, cold evening at the RSC. Representatives of 19 different Waterford and District Junior Football Clubs are here, as are representatives from Waterford FC, from the Junior League Committee, from St Dominic's Credit Union and from Pieta House. Tommy and Roisey from St Paul's Football Club spoke of the importance of an evening and an initiative like this. So lots of clubs here, St Paul's. How's it going, Tommy? How are you?
How are you, Damien?
Not too bad. Interviewing you again after 20 years.
After 20 years, the tall ship, yeah. That's right. You embarrass me.
It's a lovely event here tonight. It's a very important event, isn't it?
It's very, I have two, we say, the wife's brothers, suicide. The two of them died very young, suicide. So it's really a topic that is very deep in my heart, you know. And
for so many people in clubs, not just soccer clubs, Gaelic clubs, hurling clubs and all that, but we're dealing with the soccer tonight, with the football tonight, because a lot of people, men in particular, they can't express themselves.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, Damien. We have a load of young fellas now at the club, and it's very, very beneficial to us that, you know, their minds are right and keep away from all this shit that's going on around the place, which is a big problem with mental health, and that's the way I look at it.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, just keep them occupied on the soccer and all that.
The importance of getting involved in sport.
Important is join up, new friends, new social life, instead of being stuck at home, worrying about things, everything, bills, everything, everyone knows. Yeah.
And how will you use this sign now? This sign is going to go up, obviously. You'll be able to tell the clubs, the coaches about it, and they'll just tell the players about it. Just say, lads, if anybody's an issue.
Yeah, well, we got the poster now yesterday. We got it delivered to the club, and it's kind of visible there for everybody to see. And as I said now before, I have it in my own family, two young men. And, you know, to keep the young fellas occupied, as Risey said there, you know, keep them involved in things, keep their minds. There are more times on computers, and that's half the problem too. They're on YouTube, they're listening to all the shit that's going around. It's a big problem.
I'm so sorry for you, you know, even talking about it now. It's still
it's
sore.
It's raw to me now, after about 20 years. It's still raw, you know. Two young men.
What was their names?
The Courses. Raymond, 21 years of age. A good hard worker man as well, you know. And it's just devastating to everybody, you know.
And Davy, is it?
David De Courcy, yeah.
David De Courcy.
Two young men.
Alan Drone, chairman of CB Celtic FC.
Alan, the importance of a sign like this, even just in terms of a visual awareness, if anybody is not able to talk about stuff to club mates, because men's mental health, we find it very difficult sometimes to talk. Some men don't.
Yeah, of course. It's a big issue, and probably more so now than ever. Some people just don't know where to talk or how to get in touch with someone that can help. Having a sign directs people, you know, to a place where they can talk or get some sort of help if they don't feel comfortable talking to any of us. Within any club, there's always an outlet somewhere, but sometimes people just don't know where to talk to.
It can be a rural club, it can be a city club, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it affects everyone, and I'm sure everyone in every club has been affected or knows someone that has been affected. And this is just for our part, a very small part in playing our part, and hopefully promote mental health and self-awareness and all that.
So I'm standing here at the RSC and the photo shoot is just about to take place. We're seeing some Pieta House signs. Who have I got here in front of me?
Hi, Damien, how are you keeping? My name is John Dempsey. I look after all the community advocacy and fundraising for Pieta.
What's happening tonight?
So tonight we're doing a launch of an initiative called You're Not Alone. So we partnered with the Waterford Junior District League to collaborate with them to support clubs within their league across the county by erecting a 8-foot by 2-foot pitch-side sign in their grounds in a prominent position to signpost the services of Pieta and our essential crisis intervention therapy services.
Waterford FC are involved as well.
Waterford FC have got behind it as well with their support, as has the RSC. So it's a fantastic initiative, a fantastic support by the Waterford District Junior League and Waterford FC. And this is all being sponsored also by St Thomas Credit Union, who've come on board, and they're supporting the total cost of the signs. So this is totally free for clubs to get involved in and to support communities across the county.
Full disclosure, I'm chairperson of the Junior League, so I know a little bit about this, but I'm not doing this because of that involvement. I'm doing it because it's a cross collaboration event. We talk about mental health in sport and men's mental health as well, not just men's mental health, but some men still having the inability to talk about their feelings. And sometimes they will use sport and football and soccer and Gaelic or whatever, hurling, as a therapy for them. But they could be suffering internally that we don't know about.
Yes, 100%, you know, and today being World Mental Health Day, October 10th, it's an ideal day to be launching such a campaign. And going back to your point then, Damien, like, these signs are essentially like a visual defibrillator that essentially, if I'm a player or I'm a dad to two young kids that I'm bringing to training some evening at these grounds, and if I am in suicidal ideation or having suicidal thoughts, or my head isn't where it should be, these signs, I might just take that number down, go back to the car, sit down, and send that text for help, make that call. And potentially these signs have the ability to save a life. And I think across just the league and across the county of Waterford, if we can see families still with us and people still with us, and if these signs are a contribution to that, I think it's a fantastic initiative.
Because some people will look at signs around pitches in any walk of life and they'll say, they don't make much of a difference. Yeah. But they do. Advertisers know that they do. But individual players then, and the fact that then it becomes a discussion point maybe within a club.
100%, you know, and I think what we deal with suicide ideation, those who are self-harming, families that are bereaved by suicide, you know, it's really just a signposting of those services in our communities. And more that we can signpost that help, the more people then we can get that support to, and you know where to turn to when they are in crisis. You know, and like players, families across the county now will have, you know, access within their clubs to be able to support the initiative.
And if anybody doesn't get one of these signs tonight or this week, again, we can arrange a true Pieta House. We can organise something in the future. So,
100%, yeah. I look at it, my contact details are with Colin Powerder, who's the head of development at Waterford FC, and with the Waterford Junior Football League as well. And look, we will take this initiative, Damien, as a pilot here, and with the best of intentions of rolling this out through leagues across the country, not just in Waterford. This will be something that we intend to roll out, you know, to other leagues, using Waterford here as a county, as a springboard to that.
This is the first time you've done this?
This is the first time we piloted back in 2022 in Dungarvan, where I'm living myself. Dungarvan Football Club come on board, and outside FC come on board as well, plus other GA clubs and rugby clubs in the town. So we had every sporting club in the town recommend these signs, which gives us fantastic exposure and gives support to people in the community of Dungarvan. From there, we then, this year, I approached the Waterford Football District League to get this across all the clubs in the county. We've over nearly 27, 28 clubs now involved, which is fantastic. And as I said, this will be a springboard out to bring this to other leagues and other sporting organisations across the county, but across the country as well. The more we get out, the more exposure we can get out there to signposting the essential services in our communities, the more lives we can save.
Who have we got here representing the credit union?
I'm Conan Gallagher, CEO, and Catherine O'Grady is the chair of the credit union.
And who else have we got?
We've got Jan, marketing manager, Cleona O'Brien, Owen Feasey and Liam O'Brien.
How important was it for you to be involved with this?
Massive. I suppose we, as a credit union, took a view that we wanted to put more back into community, so we launched our community partnership. We went out to a number of different charities in the area to see what we could do, and once Pieta came along, I mean, it was a no-brainer, because, I mean, this is such an important charity, and we met John. He's just so passionate. He sold the idea of the boards, which is such a fantastic idea, helping young people with sports and mental health. So we were really, really happy to get on board, and delighted to be on board and help out any way we can.
A great cross collaboration.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, as credit union, our ethos is in the community, so it's so important that we are, you know, we are at the heart of the community. I think obviously the sporting clubs are there, and obviously Pieta there in the background as well, so it's fantastic.
This could well save lives. It's as simple as that, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, no, without a doubt. And you know, I mean, John gave us statistics and gave us, you know, I suppose, some cold hard facts that I certainly wasn't aware of. And you know, the thought of we reach one person with a simple sign and have that conversation, and you know, and help people out. That's what we all want to do. Catherine O'Grady.
Catherine, how important is this tonight for you?
It's very important. You know, we've always been part of the community here in Waterford. Over 60 years, St Dominic's have been part of the community. And to be here out in a major sporting venue like is, to be here and to have a sign sponsored, which will give hope to people who might even just look and see, oh, Peterhouse, even the number, might say, watch it, some chap could be here, or a lady could be here watching the match one of these days, and might say, well, you know what, I might give them a call. I'm having a bit of difficulty. Let's see what they're about, because the sign is very prominent, and it's lovely to see it there, prominent out among where there's going to be a lot of people on a match day, a lot of adults and other even younger people here taking part in sporting activities. So we just want to get the message across, and we're delighted to support Peterhouse, because they're such a worthy charity among our community, and we're just delighted to be part of it.
A brilliant initiative. And the Peterhouse landline number is 051 858 510. That's in Waterford. 24-hour helpline number 1-800-247-247. There's also a text number if you want to text help to 51444, 51444. And any club that hasn't got one of those signs, they can arrange one of those. They're an aluminium diabond finish, 8 foot by 2 foot. Contact Colin Power, Head of Community Development at the RSC. Well done to everybody concerned.
Thanks a million for that, Damien. And that's all we have time for this evening. Two live games to look forward to on WLRFM this week. Ray Scott and John Frost are live from Talca Park for Waterford FC's trip to Shelburne on Friday night. Tomás McCarthy and Gary Herney are on duty for the Waterford Senior Football Championship final on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Have a great week. John O'Shea is on the way with some great music. I've been Jordan Norris. Thanks for listening. See you next Monday.